And we start with our breaking news from Carrboro, where Mayor Damon Siles has announced he will not seek re-election this fall. This comes after serving one full term. Siles shared the news earlier this afternoon, saying he's preparing to transition away from the town's elected office. This comes after marking his 10th anniversary since joining the Carrboro Town Council. Siles joined the town council in April of 2013 via a special election. He was re-elected twice. In that second re-election, that term was cut short when he ran for mayor in 2021. Earning more than 90% of the vote, he was elected mayor. And that term does run up at the end of December, at which point, well, we'll let you hear what he said in his statement. He said, quote, "Arriving at this decision was difficult. Serving on the town council as both a council member and your mayor has been a great honor, a humbling responsibility, and just plain fun. Feel more and more that it is time for me to return to some of my attention to my personal and professional lives and perhaps to explore new opportunities. This decision may come as a surprise after a single term as mayor, but 10 years of combined leadership feels like the right time for a transition," end quote. Again, Carrboro Mayor Damon Siles has announced this afternoon that he's opting to not seek re-election this fall. Damon Siles is due to join us on News on the Hill on Friday afternoon at 4:30, so we'll hear a lot more about this decision and what comes next for him and Carrboro. Be sure to set an appointment to listen to News on the Hill at 4:30 on Friday for that. Meanwhile, Attorney General Josh Stein is in Chapel Hill today. He was holding a public safety roundtable on issues facing Orange County, including the opioid crisis, law enforcement recruitment and retention, and more. There was an all-star cast of local elected officials present, including Charles Blackwood, Celisa Lehu, Jen Weaver, Chris Blue, and James Etta Bedford, who was nice enough to step out of that event in order to talk to us about both what was happening in that event and the latest from the Orange County Commissioners. We spoke with her at 4:30 this past hour. I have pulled out some highlights from her discussion of the roundtable with Josh Stein. We'll listen to those coming up a little bit later in the newscast. Looking to state news now, lawmakers for North Carolina are reconvening in Raleigh this week after a legislative break. And with that, there's been a flurry of bills filed in the last few days. One of those bills aims to curb the way that social media can be both addicting and harmful to young people. This morning, a group gathered at the General Assembly to hold a press conference discussing House Bill 644, which wants to improve data privacy for young North Carolinians and make social media platforms less curated. 97.9 The Hill's Bright McConnell spoke with one of the creators of the bill.
I think you really can't understate the importance of having those youth perspectives to help understand how this policy is affecting young people.
That is Sam Heiner. He's the founder and executive director of the North Carolina Young People's Alliance, a nonprofit that advocates and explores ways for young people to become more involved in politics. Heiner, who is also a sophomore at UNC, says he's been commuting back and forth from campus to Raleigh for weeks to get support for this bill his organization put together. The proposal is for North Carolina to require social media sites to have broader data privacy for minors who use their platform. The goal is to then have young users' engagement algorithms, or what the site curates in their feed, be less influenced by posts they've engaged with before. Heiner says any regular social media user may recognize how targeted advertisements or posts from popular pages end up in their timelines based on what they've recently watched or shared. He says the problem is how this cycle could lead to a variety of mental challenges for young people, whether it's tendencies toward body negativity, extremism, or simply being unable to put their phones down.
What young people will see is, rather than right now where it's this infinite targeted scroll of content that's designed to really shock you and keep you on the platform for as long as possible, you'll instead be getting posts from your friends and then generally popular posts rather than having that echo chamber.
The proposal's language would have North Carolina's government enact more guardrails around two aspects of data collection from social media sites. One is how an algorithm is built around a profile based on the person's engagement, and the other is how targeted ads based on that profile's information pop up in their feed. Heiner says the former is especially important for young users because of how their behavior and preferences could be swayed by what's shown to them from social media algorithms.
if we prevent these companies from building those profiles on users, especially minors is who we're targeting here, then they won't be able to create those echo chambers that are getting users addicted to their platforms and are warping their perception of reality.
Changing data privacy regulations would also change how data is sold to outside companies, which then pay for opportunities to appear in people's social media feeds. Heiner says, like with the broader content algorithms, the NC Young People's Alliance wants the placement of products in people's feeds to be less incessant and less likely to create psychological damage to its users.
With advertisements, there's no way to say you're not interested. Even if you say you're not interested, those platforms will still keep showing you targeted content because that's how they make their money, is by showing the ads that are going to resonate with you the most.
Regulating tech companies and social media data is a tall task, one that the federal government and the platforms themselves have struggled with. The approach with HB 644, though, is meant to be a small, replicable step toward meaningful change. Heiner says he believes the bill has a chance to pass in the state legislature based on the wide acknowledgments of the youth mental health crisis and social media playing an exacerbating role. He adds that while people may interpret the proposal as cutting down access or time on social media platforms, the intention is more about getting back to why such platforms began in the first place.
We're not trying to get rid of it. We're just trying to make social media actually work the way it should work, and the way it should work if you ask Facebook what their corporate values are, right? It should be about bringing people together, teaching them more about the world, updating them on what's going on. All of those things we have no problem with, but it's those echo chambers that create a harm that social media companies have not dealt with that we're trying to regulate.
For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Brighton McConnell.
Thank you, Brighton. You can find a print version of that story by visiting chapelboro.com. Also included in that print version is a link to a rebroadcast of the group's 9 a.m. press conference in front of the General Assembly. Also happening tonight, there's a special event at the Eno Arts Mill in Hillsboro. They're holding a poetry slam to commemorate the 60th anniversary of Martin Luther King Jr.'s famous letter from Birmingham jail. Piedmont laureate Dasan Ahanu is hosting the event, which will feature poets performing their pieces with prizes on the line. He shared more about what audience members can expect to hear and also detailed what his role as Piedmont laureate means.
It's a beautiful partnership with four amazing organizations, the Orange County Arts Commission, Durham Arts Council, Raleigh Arts, and United Arts of Wake County. Being a part of, you know, this slam is one of the things that I get to do, which is to partner with these organizations to help spread a love for the art form, to also be supported in envisioning programs that kind of fill gaps and kind of uplift certain voices, young and old. And so that's what we're working on now, helping people think about performance, think about writing, think about sharing their gifts and talents, or stepping into their gifts and talents, and also creating a platform for young voices as well. So I'm excited to be in this role. I'm the 15th person in this role. And I hope that, you know, when it's all said and done, I'd have left a positive mark and help promote poetry across the Piedmont. Poetry Slam is a very interactive, competitive spoken word event that allows for poets to be able to share their messages, but also provides a role for the audience. And so it makes it really engaging, and the energy is crazy. So we're going to have a good time. All of the poems have to be inspired by the letter. So everyone who participates and is selected to be involved will have access to the letter and will think about the themes and the things that were being expressed in the letter and how their work is able to either respond to it, extend it, or build upon it.
That's Dasan Ahanu, the Piedmont Poet Laureate, speaking there. That Poetry Slam event is happening tonight at the Eno Arts Mill. Starts at 7 and is supposed to wrap up around 8:30. Admission is free to all community members. Time now to look into the world of sports, and we'll start that sports conversation by talking Diamond Heels baseball. They got a big win last night in spite of leaving a whole slew of runners on base. Left, I think, 18 runners on base in that game. Only scored 5 runs, but the pitching, the bullpen held. They were good enough for a 5-3 victory, led by Mac Horvath with his 14th home run of the season. Diamond Heels are just over a month away from the end of the regular season now. ACC tournament set to begin in Durham in May. Carolina's looking to finish the season strong like they did last year. And wins like last night's and that comeback win in 11 innings against Miami last weekend Well, that's going to help in that regard pretty significantly. Here's what UNC head coach Scott Forbes had to say about that game and what it says about his team's identity.
You want some things that your team, you know, is going to hang their hat on, obviously. And we try to work hard on the little things, you know, the fundamentals, pitching and defense and timely hitting. But when it comes to the culture of your team and the way they play the game here at North Carolina, we hang our hat on, you know, playing it the right way. None of this showboating crap that's going on in the college baseball world, but also playing 27 outs. Like everybody that plays North Carolina should know, we talk about in our locker room that no matter what is going on, no matter how the momentum is, even if we jump on top, that we are going to play until that last out is made. And I feel like this team is really doing that. That's going to serve them well. But your back's against the wall right out of the gate. We lose game one. All of a sudden, we're down 6-0. Then we, you know, we chip back, and we got the weather delay, and we know that Walters is going to be available.
Yeah.
So I had to sleep on that night, knowing they got a runner at third, and we got to try to prevent that because we don't want that dude to have the lead. And then for our guys to still come back against him, you know, that shows the character of the team for sure.
That's UNC head baseball coach Scott Forbes speaking there on his weekly radio show. Also on the diamond, the UNC softball team is home tonight against Campbell. It is also Mental Health Awareness Night at the park. First pitch at 7 o'clock out at Anderson Stadium. And finally, congrats to field hockey team members Charlie Bruder, Katie Dixon, Riley Heck, and Kirsten Thomasy. They all just won gold for the United States Under-21 Field Hockey National Team. It was at the Junior Pan American Championship on Tuesday down in Barbados, and it was a close final match. They beat Argentina in a shootout, and the win also earns the team a berth in the FIH Junior World Cup, scheduled for mid-December in Chile.